Welcome, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It's Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. It's 5:31, and this is a regular meeting held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 411-822-019# to join us. I think I see everybody is here. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And Mr. Wamsgans, will you please do roll call?
Certainly. Commissioner Clary?
Present.
Commissioner Lehman?
Present.
Commissioner Lachine Science?
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom?
Present.
Commissioner Loring?
Here.
Okay.
Great. Now we need to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as written.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you very much. We are going to step out for a brief executive session under RCW 42.30.110. 1I to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation. We do need to be back in public session at 6 o'clock for our budget hearing. So we will see everybody back at that point. So it'd be just a little less than 30 minutes. So we're starting now at 5:33 and we'll be back right at 6 o'clock for the budget hearing. See you all in executive session.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a reason I got a message that the executive session was canceled? Is there another invite sent out, or do I just go to the one that says canceled on it?
I'm not sure why that happened. Commissioner Lachine Sites, I'm not sure why I said that, but I did add a participant, and that might be why I went out that way, but I will make sure you're on there. It should be
okay. Well, I can go to that canceled meeting. I didn't erase it.
It's just on your calendar. Just go to it through your calendar. So.
Okay. Yeah, the calendar. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. I had the same question. See you there.
This is the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. Commissioners are now in executive session and will return at 6 p.m. for the budget hearing.
We are back from executive session. It is now 6 o'clock. And let's see, we are now moving on to our budget hearing, which was scheduled for 6 o'clock tonight, which I'm happy we're on time. We do, this is the portion of our meeting where we open it up to the public to give us feedback on our budgets. They've been posted on our website for some time. We've spent a lot of time working on them, and it's been a little bit of a crunch, I think, for our superintendent, just because there was a sense prior to the election, we didn't really know what our budgets were going to look like. So here we are. So the budget hearing is beginning at 6, and there's a 15-minute limit total, so maximum 3 minutes per person. And so, is there any public comment on our budget at this time? And we will have public comment later as well. And we are. I'll leave it to Nathan or Steve if there's anyone that wants to talk. And again, that's just a reminder to enter 441-822-019 pound if you've called in. A little quiet out there. So if there isn't anything, do we just move on, Superintendent Butler?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything at this time, so I guess it's 6:02 and we can announce the ending time for our budget hearing. it is quite something. I know Commissioner Clary and I have been working a lot with Superintendent Butler on our budgets over the last, quite a few meetings actually, over the last few weeks, and it is quite something to have this sense of awareness that we are now responsible for healthcare ranging from pre-hospital emergency care all the way to end of life care, and representing that for our community. It's a big responsibility. It's a huge honor, and I am happy to say the budgets are balanced. And so, that said, just regular audience participation at this point. Is that correct? Oh, Catherine, you seem to. Oh, there, you're unmuted. Yes. Hi.
Yeah, I have a question. So I thought there was going to be discussion about the budget. So is this the budget for next year, 2022, you're working on?
It is done and posted on our website, and it's about ready to be submitted to the county. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that includes then all the details about purchasing of the village and that's going to apply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the budget for that and how, you know, what we're putting money towards and all that. Yes.
Okay, I'll take a look. Thanks.
Thank you. And any further audience participation at this time on anything other than the budgets, I guess, if not more. Again, to participate, you can hit *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, so if there's nothing there, we can move on to unfinished business. This is committee reports and discussions. I think there's exciting news coming out of the CCC, if I'm not incorrect. I hear a rumor of this.
Yeah, the CCC met and they talked about the community health needs assessment. Mm-hmm. And the Peace House has been working with community partners to identify needs that they want to help address in the next 3 years. They have to do a community health needs assessment every 3 years. So they wanted to run it by the group. And their focus was on, I remember, housing, child care, caregiving, healthcare workers. I'm trying to think of, there was another one that I'm a mental health as well, I think, services. They had all these listening sessions with different people in the community and really did an excellent job of identifying needs. And then there were two proposals. Peace Health has a council, a health council, that will fund projects that are bigger than some of the small projects they do, and they have some funding, and they identified two possible areas to fund. They have to go to the council with it, but they identified an area with supporting having community health care workers, Latinx community health care workers, that can reach more people in the Latinx community who have some issues around accessing healthcare, but understanding their healthcare, about misinformation and believing misinformation because of what they see on social media. And it's an excellent program to train healthcare workers, and it's led by the Family Resource Center, and they have some people interested in the program. So it's kind of exciting to think that That would add a lot to, I think, Peace Health Services and healthcare in our county in general. And then Nathan spoke about community paramedicine, and Peace Health is interested in potentially going to the council and asking for funding to support our community paramedicine program, which is awesome because that funding has been in jeopardy for a while, and it's such a crucial program to connect people to resources and a great connection between Peace Health and the community, I think. It served a great, and so maybe there's some more details about that proposal. I know they talked about some numbers, but I wasn't sure how much they were going to fund. Do you have more details, Nathan, or Trish, that you want to add?
Go ahead, Trish.
The number I've written down, and I wasn't sure if this is for collectively, but was that they $40,000 to $60,000 a year, but I don't know that that's going all to community paramedicine. I was just reviewing my notes here from the meeting. Go ahead.
Rachel Lucy is the person in charge of the, I guess they're grants, but it's basically a community fund that they have to support projects. They usually do between $50,000 to $60,000 a year in these in our community. They're looking at doing twice that this year, and combining it some with the local Peace Island Medical Center fund as well. But they're telling me that our ask of $55,000 a year for 2 years is reasonable. And the particularly nice thing about that would be, you know, we're planning to, depending on what the board decides tonight, if we were to renew our levy, that would provide bridge funding until that kicks in. So the $55,000 are really nice. Basically, between that combined with the ACH grant that we have for community paramedicine would fully fund one position, or alternatively, you could say fund half of both of the positions we have, which is fantastic. Frankly, none of our 911 response positions are fully funded by fees or revenues outside of taxes. So it's actually not a bad ratio for any of the positions we have to have it half funded through things besides property taxes. So yeah, it's exciting.
What I wasn't sure about, I know they want to tie these two proposals together. And one of the exciting things too is we have potentially have a paramedicine worker who speaks Spanish. And it would be awesome to be able to tie together some of the needs. But I know they like to apply for more money and put together a bigger picture than having small little snippets. And so they're putting these two proposals together with some justification that we need more outreach in general, healthcare workers going into homes and working with people who are isolated and are not accessing services fully. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Super exciting.
They're great partners. It's so nice that they see the value in community paramedicine and the Latinx community. It's wonderful.
They were, if I might add, they were pretty excited that we've expanded our program. And it was good timing to start that conversation with them because our second community paramedicine EMT had just started the Monday prior. So it was worked out really well. Couldn't have worked out better. And give credit to Commissioner Lachine Seitz, who got us the in. Rachel Lucy told me that with Gail that sparked this there. And so if we do get the money, it's because of Gail. So thank you.
It only took me 2.5 years to be like, oh, they have funding. Like, oh, paramedicine might fit into that.
Thank you, Gail. And I just got a message that it looks like community paramedicine was approved for the first step for $55,000, and the next step would be done January through March. So, yes. And just in case for everyone's interest, I just was found in my notes that the community health needs assessment, because I think this is so important for us to be aware of, that the five areas they looked at and are strong needs are Meals on Wheels, Head Start and Playground expansion, community caregiving, healthcare career pathways, and ACEs and resilience community of practice. So, and that's adverse childhood events, ACEs. And so I think, you know, it's really important that we as a hospital district understand, you know, what's going on in our community. I think the Community Collaboration Committee's been really eye-opening for me, at least, to be exposed to all that they're doing. But, you know, that we're going to be now joined with Peace Health and Peace Island for community paramedicine is just really super special. And I just see great things happening. So.
Yeah, and you know, we've had Lainey leading this program for, is it 8 years now? And she has a full-time EMT now helping her on staff, and we have more funding to make, to, and essentially we know that it's going to be a permanent program, and it's wonderful. And so thank you, Peace Health. Anything else on the CCC? Okay, EMS Trauma Care Council, was there a meeting this month?
Was there a regional meeting, Nathan? I know there was
talk
of it, and then I didn't see an invitation at all.
I don't attend the regional ones. I know there wasn't a local one, so I don't have an answer for that.
Okay, I didn't get any invitation. Okay, hopefully it didn't happen.
Our next local one is in December.
Okay. And then what about the CID? There's probably nothing since our last meeting with our attorney.
That's correct. It seems to be moving slow as molasses. So.
I think molasses does move, and I'm not sure this one is actually at the moment. So we should check it. It may be stationary.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Finance Committee, Everett, anything? I know we've had a lot of meetings in the past, even 7 days.
Well, as pertains to the finances, the monthly finances, we started out with they balanced, which is always nice. Hannah did a great job, and Steve did a great job, and everything was pretty much as we expected it. Nothing was missing. There were some things missing that they found, and so that's all good. And as was expected, the inflow is greater than the outflow finally, because taxes have started to roll in again. So that also makes sense. And interestingly, Steve spent some time retiring some old debts and things that were on the books that have been hanging around since 2007, reconciling an account, and which I found just amazing that we've been kicking that can down the road for, 14 years now? And so when it was all said and done, I think we ended up writing a check for $2,700, but it's just one more thing that is cleaned up and is no longer hanging over our head. Some of these things were things that owed somebody a dollar, and somebody owed us $2. And honestly, hard to imagine that we just hung on to that for so long. Also, the GEMT is the overpayment is paid back and behind us, and we're starting to get money that we actually aren't going to have to give back, which is thrilling also. So, gosh, really, really positive. I mean, I just overall, it feels like the momentum is moving forward. Financially, it's that way. We've got some great people we've had some great people moving, and we've passed the baton, and it's, and the race is going just great. So that's how I feel about the finances, and that's what I have to report.
Yeah, and I would really add that it's a pleasure working with Hannah, and she's been she has a great attitude, and she seems to be absolutely on top of what she's doing at EMS.
Yeah, I have to apologize to her, because at 7 minutes after two, Steve called me to say that we were having a financial meeting yesterday at two, and I failed to read the email that Hannah sent that said she was looking forward to us all getting together at two. So, I have to say, you know, that it's really pretty bad. Somebody goes through the trouble of sending you an email and you don't even bother to read it. That's my apologies. So she sent that and that I didn't read it. So anyway, really a great bunch of people, and we're fortunate. So things are good. Thank you
for working on all those budgets, Nathan, and getting them sorted and presenting them in a timely manner.
Much appreciated. For sure.
Of course. Thank you, commissioners, for making the time to meet and go over them together and getting them into a state of readiness for the board. It's much appreciated.
Moving on to the long-term care committee, and I would just start by saying congratulations to Commissioners Lehman and Lachine Seitz for your hard work and the successful campaign that you participated in, and to you, Superintendent Butler. We are a whole different public hospital district as of this meeting, and this is incredibly exciting. Anything the two of you would like to share?
Well, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled beyond words. And I think we have done something that's so cutting edge for a hospital district. And I hope that perhaps it's even the beginning of setting a precedent for other hospital districts addressing their elder care crises in their communities. And had very interesting conversations at the Saturday farmers market with folks who not necessarily were voters here in our community, but had a home, part-time home here. And one fellow was just blown away by what we're doing. He thinks this is just extraordinary. One of the reasons that they're hesitant to move to the island permanently is because of elder care. And this was, he thought, so innovative. And I think that's the word, to me, that's the word of the future, is innovation in every single area of our world. And so we have to be innovative, and we need to jump on the bandwagon. And I think that the potential for what we're doing with Village at the Harbor is just, we have endless possibilities, and I'm just excited for what the next 6 months are going to bring. And there's a lot of work to be done. And thank you, Superintendent Butler, for all the work you've already done. People don't realize how much behind the scenes work needs to happen to make this transition. I hope that the public will be patient with us as we proceed forward. There's a lot happening that you can't see, but it's happening, and there's a lot of excitement. I've gotten a couple of wonderful thank you notes, which made up for one of these sad hate mail letters that I got from someone about this effort, and that I would be doomed should this levy pass. And that was pretty disheartening, but you know, there's so much favorable support. There's just so much support that I'm really excited. So yeah, I just want to thank the public for making this happen. And our wonderful team of people who
the committee
helped. Yeah, the committee was amazing. Incredible. Just amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And you know, I really noticed as soon as it passed, I got a couple of messages just saying like, I need help with my family member. I got two of those right away as soon as it passed. So it just makes you realize how desperate the need is for a lot of people.
I got a message just a couple of days before the election with a need for two folks in our community who desperately need Medicaid beds. And, you know, it's exciting to think that we will have a place for folks who don't have the resources to spend $5,000 to $8,000 to up for private duty up to $18,000 and $20,000 per month. So yeah.
Well, we've applied for the license. Yes. Right. We've applied for the license. So just as soon as that can happen. Yeah. Right. Gail, did you want to add anything?
No, I think it's awesome too. I know we were last meeting, we were like, are we going to have work or no work? And so we got it all. We have it all, right? If we just keep adding organizations to our, to the people we, you know, fund, we can all work really well together because it will just be all of us. No, just a little joke. But there is a lot of work to consider. And of course, we've had a little bit of time since the last meeting ourselves to kind of think about that. But to have EMS, to have Peace Health, and what we were funding originally, and then also have the Village of Harbor is huge, and figuring out how to manage all that is going to be a task. And thank God that we have Nathan and Steve, and that they do so much good work and are so capable, and all the EMS folks that are there and have come on board since Nathan's been there as well, so that we have a really solid organization. Too. So it'll be exciting to pick next steps in all of our directions.
Yes, agreed. Next on our unfinished business, or lastly, or one of the last, is the Community Relations Committee. And I think this is just an abstract, just because I think Tricia and I have talked with so many people over the last month about so many things because we've got a lot going on. I don't personally have much to report specifically. Just lots of conversations, and I know Trisha's had a lot of letters, a lot of conversations. Yeah.
It's been good. I mean, it's great to have a sense of what's going on from our community, what's going on within our own organization. And yeah, we need to continue to be educated and informed. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you, everyone. A longstanding agenda item, which has been open-ended for a long time, integration of EMS and fire. I guess I don't need to start, but does anyone want to weigh in at this point on what direction you feel is best for our agency? Considering the election.
Well, I've got a question before we get started. And, you know, obviously the integration vote required 60%. It didn't get there, right? So EMS at this point wouldn't be levied by the fire district based on that last vote. Mm-hmm. And so the question I have is kind of related to that, or actually a couple of questions. And these are for Superintendent Butler. The first one is regarding that memorandum of understanding that we had with the fire district. How was it working with the fire district under that memorandum of understanding to try to move things forward towards integration with the fire district? I guess that's question one. And question two, have you spoken with the fire district since the election and gotten an understanding from them on what they see as the path forward?
Two easy questions, I see. Well,
favorite.
I don't know. I'll be pretty honest. I didn't think it went very well after we signed our agreement. We put in a lot of effort on this levy. We released two press releases. I even gave an interview. I ended up in a front page article about it, supporting integration. We did a physical mailer to every house in our district, every resident, taxpayer. We really tried very hard. Near as I can tell, the fire district posted a two-page FAQ on their website. I don't to this day know whether they had a campaign committee. I don't really. And it seemed like after we signed our agreement, it was hard to make ground on things, to work on our asset plan, the ILA. We did okay on some operational things like run reviews, which we started before we signed the agreement, but I'm not really very happy or satisfied with how the process went. I have not talked to the fire department's leadership since the election outcome. I could call and emailed. I'm told they'll get back to me. So, I mean, I would have liked to have said, you know, here's how I feel about it. I'm interested in what, you know, you have to say. I don't really know what they think about this or what their plan is. I suspect they know that it's a pretty tough sell to try to get an EMS levy passed in February. You've got to deal with turnout requirements. I believe you have to get 60% of the last general election turnout to pass a new levy during a special election. And, you know, our district, the EMT Association and the union basically abstained from the election cycle in the fall, opted not to weigh in one way or the other. They weren't, you know, really formally asked to do so. It's hard to know what would have happened if there had been formal communication with the union or with. I think there was actually formal communication with the EMT Association from the Firefighters Association, not from the fire department. Nevertheless, I mean, it seems like, based on what I'm seeing, and I did survey the agency, that it's likely that they would not support trying to get on this. So I think the board has a decision to make here for sure. And I believe I answered your questions, Commissioner Loring. Do you have any others?
Well, always, but we can also hear from others. I did have one clarifying question. You were talking about the agency a moment ago in a survey. Just to be clear, you surveyed the EMS staff and employees at this point, and your understanding from that survey is that they would rather not pursue integration further?
That's correct. I surveyed the entire agency. We got so staff and volunteers. 32% of our personnel that responded wanted to try again. You think about a year ago, where a pretty solid majority wanted to do this. So it's a pretty significant change in tone. And of course, we're not a democracy, right? I mean, you are the democratically elected officials for this district, and you should make the decision you want to make. And ultimately, you're accountable to the public, and I'm accountable to you, right? And then our agency is accountable to me, and that's how it works. But we have a long tradition of listening to our staff here and our personnel and wanting to take their feelings into consideration. And I think that they're telling us pretty firmly that they didn't feel that this election cycle went well either. They weren't happy with how this was handled. And I agree with them, unfortunately. I think it's hard to find someone that's been working on integration longer than me. I go back to the very beginning. I don't know of anybody currently involved in this process besides me that goes back as far. So it is profoundly disappointing to me to be where we're at. Commissioner Lindstrom, were you there at the very beginning?
Oh, I was there, but I wasn't like working on it. I was observing it. But yes, you absolutely have been, you were with at every citizens advisory group meeting.
I mean, Nathan wins.
You win. Yeah.
So I feel like
I'll say that
Go ahead.
I'll say that I really I feel like we gave the fire district the benefit of the doubt in every way, to because we couldn't communicate with them directly. That was impossible. Our joint meetings, they didn't want to speak to us as commissioners. And so I think we bent over backwards to try to make it so they could communicate with just Nathan and have a lead person, so they felt comfortable with their communication. So it was hard for us to be in the process. I felt like I gave them the benefit of the doubt during this last election. A lot of people asked me about it, and we're very concerned about just the fire district and what's been happening lately with their partnerships in the community. And, you know, I tried to take that the route that we really together, you know, the hospital district was like, hey, this, the best thing for our community is to have EMS and fire joined. We had questions about working well with community partners and our staff, and we Nathan shored up work with the union, got people paid well, got it set up with a structure that works really well, and with the hopes that this will be passed on and that the fire district could take that over. And so the fact that, you know, we said the voters will speak, and I feel like the voters have spoken. And I know there was a lot of discussion about, you know, people really want good EMS services. They want to be able to count on what's happening. They don't want problems. They don't want drama in the community. They want a really solid organization. And so I think EMS is a really solid organization right now. A lot of people told me, hey, EMS is doing great on its own. You don't need to integrate. By people that I really respect. And we've known that all along, that we have a strong agency, but we've wanted to help do what's best for the community if possible, so that there's no problem with working together out on the field, right? So when we respond to calls, we don't want two organizations doing two different things with two different managers. But it seems like the best thing at this moment is to have one agency that does EMS services and does it really well, until we see that an opportunity exists to really make a powerful alliance where we all feel comfortable and where the community feels comfortable having it happen.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion.
Thank you. Trish, Everett, Trish.
It makes me actually very sad that my perception, and this is simply mine, but that, and my observation as well, not just my perception, but my observation, that fire has not wanted to collaborate with us. And unfortunately, I've received a number of communications from leadership within our community that that Chief Collins has not cooperated well. And that is really unfortunate, and I'm very sad. I don't mean to call him out, but I think it bears noting that leadership is one of the issues. And I'm really sad about that. When I met Chief Collins, before I think I was even sworn in as a commissioner, I liked him and I thought this is gonna be great. And I am saddened to hear about the lack of working well with others, which we have to do. And I'm saddened when I see, the Facebook postings of we're in this together, and it doesn't feel that way. So there's no alignment with the words and the deeds. And that makes me sad, very sad. So I'm very torn about this. I think, you know, so much work's been put into this. But, you know, I'm leaning to where, you know, the voters have spoken. The voters spoke in this election. And I feel like we have enough majority within our EMS organization that we should not be moving forward with integration.
Thank you. Everett?
Yeah, you know, I think... kind of looking at the big picture of this, it was an issue when I, 2 years ago, when I first took on the role of commissioner. And for 2 years, we've been working at this, and we've tried really hard, I think, for 2 years. That's not to say that it's only been us that have tried. Everybody, I think, has tried. But, you know, I think there comes a time in an endeavor when things don't work out and it's time to say, okay, that's enough. And I think we've reached that point, which for a lot of reasons. And, you know, there can be finger pointing, and that's not beneficial, I don't think. But I think we've reached the point where it's tried, and we don't have to do this. We have a really healthy, functioning EMS. There was a reason that EMS was separated out from a fire and moved under the hospital district. Some of those reasons still exist. Some of them, I'm sure, don't anymore. But we owe that to the community and to the people of EMS to have a clear direction. We've tried and muddled along for 2 years now, and there's been an awful lot of uncertainty. And it's a little bit like landing an airplane. You know, we've had the flaps and the gear down, and we're eating up the runway, and the time is over. You know, it's time to advance the throttles and suck the gear up and go and move on. We've done it. Okay, now we've given it a try. The voters have spoken. We need to move on. And so I feel like we've really, really tried hard. Everybody has worked hard on it, and we need to move on. So I'm really clear about that. You know, if we hadn't tried, if this was only 6 months that we'd given it a whirl, that'd be one thing. But it's been over 2 years, and there have been so many problems. And you know what? It isn't right. Still isn't right enough.
Thank you. I essentially agree with all of you. I think that we have done everything we can. We had the intention to follow the Citizens Advisory Group recommendations and follow their roadmap. It seems to me the fire department just wanted to pick and choose what they wanted to do there. And, you know, there also seems to be a real lack of mutual respect. And, you know, we can own some of that. I can own some of that. They can own it. But I listened to their board meeting last week, and it was difficult to hear the language they use to refer to a partnership agency that is publicly funded and in partnership to provide essential services to people. And they didn't use the word San Juan Island EMS. They used the ambulance company. And I found that very disparaging and discouraging. I believe that we've had 3 years of an incredible amount of uncertainty for our staff, and we owe it to them now to make a clear decision and to move forward. They have held things together through a pandemic, no less. You know, we have a lot to do. This particular issue has sucked all the air out of the room for a very long time. And we have an excellent agency with good leadership. We know we have a hole there. We know we need support. We need support in Director of Operations, Assistant Chief role. And we can get that done now. We can make those hires that we need now that we know we have certainty and continuity for our agency. So it's a well-run agency with incredible professionals, and I think it is in the best interest of everyone in this situation to withdraw, rescind the memorandum of understanding that we have with the fire department to put anything on the ballot any further, especially based on the feedback from our staff. And I think we need to focus on the future.
I think it's just one more question. And this is for anybody who did attend or observe the fire district meeting that they had post-election. I didn't. So it sounds like Chair Lindstrom did, maybe Superintendent Butler. Did you get an understanding from that meeting where the fire district intends to go? It sounds like Superintendent Butler's had difficulty getting a call back about that. But did you get some feel from that meeting?
You know, all they didn't really say anything about the election. All they said, they were waiting for the results to be certified. And the chief did say that, yes, we still do. He did mention that we still have an MOU with the PhD. And otherwise, there was just a lot of talk about ATVs and a service dog, and just really not much acknowledgement of the partnership that you would expect them to talk about having. I think it would have been so, this election would have been a no-brainer for me if they had just come out to the public and said, I know the side note, but had said, you know, we would be honored to welcome the staff of EMS into our agency, and we would be honored to provide these services to our community. But that was never said. And really, we just had a lot of disparagement and criticism coming out of their agency towards us. And I just think it's time to move on. That was my impression from the meeting. They just really didn't touch on anything and didn't really indicate what direction they were headed in any way. Did you have the same impression, Superintendent?
I concur. I do. You know what? We gave this a chance. I feel like what success the success the levy did have was, I mean, at least in part because of us, we really tried hard on this. And many people that were hesitant about it that came to us and were like, no, just trust us on this. We're going to give this a go. And they're like, well, okay, we trust you, you know, and so can we ask these people to do that again? I will say this. I think it's very exciting where we're at as an agency. I don't want to fuss excessively over what happened. We are now about three times the size we were. We're bringing on the Village of the Harbor. We're planning to build home care services. We could coordinate these home care services with our community paramedicine program. We've expanded our community paramedicine program, which adds backfill to our 911 response. We have the funding we need to accomplish the objectives the public has trusted us with. We're a much larger agency with many more employees, or at least we will be soon, with three times, you know, substantially more tax money. I mean, the addition of tax money is like $1.8 million a year. We collect about $1.55 on EMS. We run the gamut from pre-hospital care to hospital care through SARS support for Peace Health to post-hospital and long-term care. And we are a large, well-run healthcare organization, and we can find many efficiencies through integrating our services. It doesn't mean that all of our EMTs and medics are going to be over at the Village every day. I know it makes people nervous, thinking there's going to be some huge change like that, but we can find ways to integrate these services through management and through collaborative efforts, because we will be one department, one agency. It opens fantastic opportunities for us. I think that if the integration with fire had worked out, frankly, I know I'm going to catch flack for this, but if they'd done their part and it had passed, that would have been great. But we have many, many opportunities available to us through integrating the services that we're looking at running. And we've heard from our partners, many people in the community, that they believe in us and that they support us. And I'm excited. I think we have got some amazing opportunities. I think we should be optimistic, hopeful, and looking forward to the future. I think we can take our EMS agency, now that we're no longer presumably based on your decision, I'm hearing the five of you speak, and so I'm making an assumption here. But if we are not integrating, we can invest in our EMS service. We can improve our facility. We paid off the building. Now, we can make some improvements to make this building work better for us. When it was originally built, they didn't really take into account some EMS related things. And, we didn't, because we were contractors handling it, it was part of our agreement, Peace Health, we didn't have a ton of say. So there are things we'd like to do to retrofit and improve these facilities. We'll continue to improve our fleet. We'll invest in our staff. We're bringing on a fifth medic. We just brought in a second community paramedicine EMT. We can hire some depth in management. The things we can do are amazing. I think we should have confidence in ourselves and who we can be, and confidence in our people. Confidence in what they can accomplish when we give them the chance. I think that the pandemic has been very hard on healthcare across the county, across the state, across the country. Many EMS agencies are struggling substantially. Many hospitals are struggling. Many of our partners are struggling. Frankly, we're not. We are doing just fine. And we can be a strength to our community and our county by being a place that our partners can go to for help. Where we are adequately funded and adequately staffed, we can offer trainings, offer facilities, and through agreements with our partners, help our partner agencies succeed in their roles as well. We can fill that collaborative, community-based role of supporting healthcare services within our county and on our island. I think we should be really excited about what we can be. Pardon the monologue, but I really do feel like as an agency, we have amazing opportunities ahead of us, and we've got so much that we can accomplish if we just commit to it and move forward.
So true. Nice job, Nathan. And even, you know, even that thought about when the levy didn't pass, like, you know, for partners, we no call, no connection about, hey, what are we going to do? We're, you know, we're partnering together on this. How can it, how can we proceed? You know, just, and that's kind of how it's been. So I think it's a great thing to be able to rely on ourselves and our organization. So I would like to make a motion to accept the resolution 21561 to withdraw from the MOU with FHIR at this time.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so discussion on this.